This is the 50,000-watt powerhouse talk station, serving all of southern New England and beyond. 990 WALE, Greenville, Providence, Renaissance Radio, a division of North American Broadcasting Company.
Welcome to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause. Tune in, get personal, and deal with the real issues. Here's your host, Dr. Ron Krause.
Good afternoon. 3 days ago, America was hit out of the clear blue sky. This is Dr. Ron Krause at Talk Psychology Live. We're going to talk about crisis. We're going to talk about what people can do when everything seems unclear, unsafe, and not the way it was before. What is a crisis? A crisis is a word that comes from the Greek word which means decision or turning point. Interesting enough, in Chinese, the symbol used for the word crisis is composed of two features, danger and opportunity. We have seen a remarkable response in the United States because we had a crisis and we're coping, and now we're recovering, trying to collect ourselves and find a way out. On this show, Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause, we're going to talk about how to find ways to cope. Today we're going to be joined probably in a few minutes by Dr. Michael Fenichel, who's going to call us from New York City. Michael is the president of a society called International Society of Mental Health Online, and he's also working with the adolescents and children in downtown Manhattan. We may also be joined by another doctor, but we can't tell right now if the lines from New York City are going to work okay. So we have a crisis, and we need to talk about what we can do when nothing else works. I think the first thing we can do is try to hang on to each other, look around, and see what is left. What is left is our strength, and what is left is how we have coped throughout our lives. If we have a history of coping and recovery, our chances of recovery this time will also be good. If we're struggling, then something traumatic and horrendous can push us over the edge. We have all witnessed horrendous, horrendous things, and as a mental health expert, I know that the impact and the tragedy is only now, Friday, 3 days after, are going to start coming in, and the nightmares and the visions as we go to the weekend are going to start settling in, and the magnitude of the horror and the shock and the fear is just now going to start hitting home, when the initial shock, the disbelief and denial are over with. Another task that we have to deal with is grief. We're all dealing with loved ones and scenes of people, other human beings, mothers, fathers, children looking for their parents. Horrible scenes. And we're all exposed to this. Now, a definition of an acute stress disorder is usually defined in the literature like a person who has exposed or has suffered a traumatic event in which both the following were present. If the person has experienced, witnessed, or was confronted with an event or events that involved actual or threatened death or serious injury or a threat to the physical integrity of self or others, if the person was subjected to intense fear, a sense of helplessness or horror, this would be some of the criteria that would fit the definition of acute stress disorder. Now, haven't we all been exposed to horrific events broadcast live sometimes? If you have an opinion, if you have a feeling, if you have a question that you'd like to deal with and share with us, please call the station. Our number is 877-621-2953. If you're calling calling from Providence, Rhode Island, call 401-621-9253. Our number again, if you want to talk, if you're ready to talk about crisis and what can be done, 877-621-9253. This is Dr. Krause. We're talking Psychology Live, and we're trying to deal with the meaning of crisis and what can be done. It has been a horrific week for all of us, and we're just beginning to cope. These are some of the symptoms associated with acute stress and traumatic events. People get a subjective sense of numbing, of detachment, or the absence of an emotional responsiveness. People may have a state of reduction in their awareness regarding their surrounding, like they're walking in a daze. The hours, the time, the events go by, and you're like half in a dream. You may have a state of derealization, like things are not real. This cannot really be happening. And also in severe cases, what we call depersonalization, which means the personality itself is like, I don't know who I am. Other...
Hello?
Hello? Do we have a caller?
You have a guest.
Who is my guest?
Dr. Michael Fenichel in New York.
Welcome, Dr. Michael Fenichel. I was hoping you'll make it. Michael Fenichel, Dr. Michael Fenichel is calling us from New York City, downtown. And Dr. Fenichel is a psychologist, clinical psychologist, who is working with children and adolescents. How are you, Michael?
I'm as well as can be expected, thank you.
I was just beginning the show describing the horror that we all felt watching the events, but the majority of us were watching the events on television. And some of us were watching this like, this is a horror movie right out of Hollywood. Now, you were there a few miles from the event. You told me earlier that the kids and perhaps yourself witnessed all this. Maybe we can start by, what did the people see 3 days ago?
Well, okay. The first word I heard when I was connected was depersonalization, and certainly there are a lot of people that feel like it can't be real, which is, of course, is the first stage of dealing with a trauma. The people that I've been working with the last few days are children who have lost parents, spouses of missing people, and a large number of children and adolescents who live directly underneath or across from the World Trade Center, who witnessed any or all of the crashes and destruction. And seemingly most traumatic for a lot of people were the scenes of people jumping out windows. Myself, having been a little further up the street when we first started hearing things were happening, we gathered, some of us walked into the streets to see what we could see, and it immediately became very surreal. Downtown Manhattan became a ghost town very quickly, and everybody huddled around television sets and pizza shops to see what could be seen on a small TV screen. People just went numb very quickly, and lower Manhattan suddenly became devoid of traffic altogether. And by the middle of the afternoon, the streets became a mass of people marching, sometimes to nowhere, but there was no place to go. So it really was right out of a movie, even for those that were living in it, and it was something that nobody could make any sense out of.
Part of the confusion, I bet, is that things were happening one after the other, and nobody really got the full picture until a few hours passed. And so I guess people were wondering if this is over, and then something else happened, and the fear and the sensation of what's going on and has increased. Have you seen a gradual sense of panic or more and more concern as the morning went by, that awful morning?
I think there was a real coming together of people rather quickly. People were comparing notes. They said that a second plane is coming. Did you see that? Oh, look. there was an explosion, there wasn't an explosion, the building fell down, the building is falling down, it isn't, we turned on a radio and we heard the reports out of the Pentagon and a reporter saying live, wait, we have to evacuate, we've been hit too. It really was something right out of War of the Worlds. The people that I've worked most closely with, including emergency workers and teachers and therapists, I think after a feeling of numbness and moving into action, are just now starting to thaw out a little bit from numbness, and it's becoming a little more real. But I think people's immediate reflexes were, what are we going to do? And the we became everyone together.
Michael, you were telling me earlier that as a result, and perhaps this brings me back to the initial definition of the very word crisis, there is danger and opportunity. So although we suffered the shock and the trauma and we're trying to find our way and recover, there's also some goodness that comes of this evil. And you were describing some wonderful things that the kids have been producing and doing in an effort to cope and perhaps come out of this sense of helplessness, like there's nothing we can do?
Absolutely. I actually think that the kids have been inspirational to a lot of adults, especially adults who take it very seriously, like teachers and parents, for starts. The children may have initially seen it as a television or a movie, but I think a lot, especially younger children who process it and have different life experience to draw on, were mostly picking up how distraught their parents were and how distraught their teachers were. And teachers and parents and therapists all struggled to sort of hold it together because it just the enormity of how horrible it is. I could read you a few quotes if you want, but I've been working with children who have been putting together memorials and dressing a tree with leaves with poems and odes to the fallen, and the overwhelming sentiment has been, they can tear our buildings down, they can't tear us down, and love will conquer hate, and put your anger aside and teach what we need to teach to make the world a better place. And it's just amazing how the better side of humanity has been shown.
Yeah, I think this is the good that we are able to produce out of this evil, is that we are able to come together, and as a community, the teachers and the mental health professionals and the students and basically everybody, I think this is quite something, how America is coming together because of this trauma. I think that we know from the literature that coming together and sharing and not being alone is really important clinically at a time like this. And it seems that the population is doing it on an instinct, like a need. People go and find counsel in churches and synagogues, and they find every resource that can bring them together. And what you mentioned before, in my mind, is quite heroic. You mentioned that parents and colleagues of yours and other staff in Manhattan have been affected directly by this blow, and yet you had to continue and function and give an example of coping and continuing and being together and working through while perhaps mourning your own friends. Am I right?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's another thing. A lot of us have not had a chance to process fully. I'm one of them. I've personally had losses myself, and almost everybody I know has. One of the things that I learned pretty quickly, I was feeling perhaps a little selfish for thinking, well, this is a New York disaster. And okay. What struck me most profoundly was that as everybody was putting themselves out as being a source of help, and the children were concerned about giving blood and food,
This is really important. We'll have to be right back. Please hold that thought. We have to take a short break.
Okay.
We'll return to
Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Kraus after this.
If you notice your cat's behavior becomes aggressive, you might want to consider having him tested for feline hyperthyroidism. This condition affects the thyroid gland, causing it to become overactive. Symptoms include ravenous appetite, weight loss, hair loss, excessive thirst, vomiting, and diarrhea. If surgery or medication is not an option, visit www.hypercat.com. That's www.hypercat.com. Find out why they are the leading center for the successful treatment of feline hyperthyroidism. Their methods are easier to use than oral medications and safer than surgery. If you suspect your cat shows symptoms of this disease, please see your veterinarian for more details. Don't forget to visit hypercat.com. That's www.hypercat.com.
Licensed clinicians and therapists. Did you know that clinical services online are legal and soon to be fully reimbursed by Medicare? The revolution in direct service delivery is here. Now is the best time to join onlineclinics.com and get your private interactive clinic online. Visit us today at www.onlineclinics.com. Are you a licensed clinician? Are you sick of having someone else manage your time, treatment decisions, and service rates? At onlineclinics.com, professionals manage their own schedule and service rates. If you want real freedom of choice, then it's time to visit onlineclinics.com. Free training and access to clinicalsupervision.com is also available to all members. Visit us at www.onlineclinics.com. Enter through the clinician's entrance and click on registration. Onlineclinics.com, the professional network.
Do you like Asian music? Would you like to know what is going on in the Asian community? Then you need, no, you must listen to Bobosh Creole with me, your host, Franz Debra, every Saturday between 9 to 10 on WALE 990 AM. I will bring you the best in music, news, health information, and much more. So tune in every Saturday between 9 to 10 on WALE 990 AM with me, Franz Debra, avec Bobosh Creole.
In this often chaotic and confusing world, it's easy to be frustrated and just plain fed up. Well, it's time to turn things around with a little peace of mind with Best Summer Street every Monday at 11 a.m. right here on WALE. So if you're like the rest of us and often get frustrated by life's twists and turns, then you can't afford to miss peace of mind every Monday at 11 a.m. right here on WALE 990 a.m. or log on and hear us on the internet at www.renaissanceradio.com.
Talk to our expert host in the Providence area. Call 621-WALE. Outside the Providence area, call toll-free 1-877-621-WALE.
And now, back to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Kraus.
We're back on Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Kraus. We're talking with Dr. Michael Finichel, who is a clinical psychologist calling us from downtown Manhattan. As we took the break, Michael, you were just beginning to tell me how all this affects the mental health clinicians and the helpers themselves. Obviously, we're trying to cope and help the others and be the experts, but as you began to say, everyone is affected, and we're personally touched by this. And I think you mentioned you were working like 3 days now, and it must have a toll on you. I wonder how what it does to the clinicians who are there to help the others, and how you're finding the strength to cope.
Well, it's instinctual, maybe. I just want to say before it gets lost how appreciative we are. Being the helpers in New York, and not just those of us doing therapy, but firefighters. I was with a school today that adopted a firehouse that lost a lot of people, and people are adopting police precincts, and people are prepared. I'm getting from around the world, because as you know, and listeners may not, I'm also involved in an international mental health organization which shares information online, and the greetings and wishes and sympathies coming in from around the world are just stunning. Canada has been writing, heart is breaking with you, and it was so striking to me that as we were going from morning to night, supporting each other and supporting families and patients, clients, most of the world was concerned about us, and it was lost on us. And once I realized that, I started seeing on other online groups, psychological associations, mental health associations, a recognition that people are really, really hurting themselves and haven't had a time to process our own stress and trauma. And it was at that point I started celebrating some more heroes, the parents, the mental health workers, the emergency workers. It's just of such a magnitude of heroism, I can't express it.
Yeah, I can tell the listeners, and we have listeners worldwide because we broadcast through talkpsychology.com. If you're in the Providence area, you can listen to us on Whale 990 AM every Friday from 3 to 4. And we're not only going to talk about crisis and trauma, we're going to be here to talk about what we can say regular psychological issues, not horrendous and not in the crisis intervention realm. But you're welcome to join us online through talkpsychology.com and listen, tune in, Whale 990. If you have calls that you'd like to call in with stories or questions, if you're dealing with this crisis and you're affected by it and you'd like to share, the number to call is 877-621-9253. And we're going to be here every Friday. And if listeners want to contact the professionals and continue a dialogue after the show and communicate with us or anyone, you're welcome to do it. I understand, Michael, Dr. Fenichel, that you have identified a source online that people may go and find support groups or things like that. That has been part of the effort by the clinician that they can make themselves available and donate hours and time and see clients and patients and do volunteer work for the Red Cross. So you mentioned before that there is such a location that maybe you'd like to share with the audience.
Well, there's several that have been coming to me and which you've seen on the professional lists as well. I think the two resources I can most confidently recommend as being of value to the most people nationally or internationally, probably, first of all, the New York Times website, www.nytimes.com, has a list of the local and up-to-date needs of everything from Red Cross to emergency services to food, shelter, donations for clothing. They have a very, very extensive list, as well as updates. I don't know if people are aware of this, but we still don't have full telephone service in much of New York City. A lot of internet service is knocked out, too. And actually, there had been some electricity outages downtown. So we're still sort of recovering normalcy and hope, which I don't want to let it pass without saying that that's really been our goal all along, is normalcy and hope. And the other site I'd mention would be my own. I think the easiest way to access that would be www.psychservices.com, psychservices.com. I have resources there for teachers and for clinicians, and I've just put up several new resources that deal with talking to children about how to process trauma and turn the disaster into an example of all the positive things that we can do together as a community, which, as you said before, is one of the miracles of crisis, is that it often offers opportunity.
Yeah, I think these are valuable resources, Dr. Fanichel, and I appreciate your mentioning it to our audience. I think from the reports that we're getting, there are a lot of chat rooms and support groups, and it's really like we are one family today. Like we all came together and feel like we're one human family and we're all victims of this. We're going to take a short quick break and come right back. This is Talk Psychology Live.
We'll return to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause after this. Licensed clinicians and therapists, did you know that clinical services online are legal and soon to be fully reimbursed by Medicare? The revolution in direct service delivery is here. Now is the best time to join onlineclinics.com and get your private interactive clinic online. Visit us today at www.onlineclinics.com. Are you a licensed clinician? Are you sick of having someone else manage your time, treatment decisions, and service rates? At onlineclinics.com, professionals manage their own schedule and service rates. If you want real freedom of choice, then it's time to visit onlineclinics.com. Free training and access to clinicalsupervision.com is also available to all members. Visit us at www.onlineclinics.com. Enter through the clinician's entrance and click on registration. Onlineclinics.com, the professional network.
This traffic's backed up almost a mile.
Yeah, probably just gawkers looking at an accident. Whew, some people.
Well, if there was an accident, I hope they call the police, especially if there's an injury. You know, a police report verifies the accident and damage is discovered later.
I know.
And I hope they contacted their insurance company as soon as possible. You know, some policies require notice within 24 hours.
I know.
They should find a reputable repair facility to find out how much damage was done to their vehicle and how long it'll take to fix. And you know, they should make sure their car drives the same after the accident.
I know. Well, look, see, it's just an accident. You know, we wouldn't have so many accidents if people would just pay attention to this.
I know.
Know what to do if you're in an accident. Look for an ICAR Gold Class Professional business. This message brought to you by the ICAR Gold Class Professionals program in this station.
Menopause, migraines, PMS, osteoporosis, libido. These topics contain as much folklore as they do facts. Sorting through everything you hear and read can be just as confusing as it can be informative. Now there's New Frontiers in Women's Health every Wednesday with Dr. Diana Hoppe and Dr. Susan Hutchinson to separate the reality from the myth. New Frontiers in Women's Health will offer informal and inspirational advice for nearly any topic relating to women from age 20 to 80. New Frontiers in Women's Health airs Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on AM 990 WALE.
I like Math Medley because I learned how to divide on Math Medley.
I like Math Medley because my daughter Wendy learned to divide on Math Medley. I also like it because I get useful ideas about gardening, education, socially responsible investing, and baseball.
I like Math Medley because I talk with such interesting people. Join me, Dr. Pat Kenshaft, every Saturday at noon, right here on WALE.
Here's your current WALE weather forecast, heard at the top and bottom of every hour.
Good afternoon, Providence. This is Mike Maresco with your WALE weather forecast. Tonight, breezy and cold, temperatures in the 40s. A little bit of rain lingering around from this afternoon. Tomorrow, expect a sunny day with breezy winds, temperatures in the 60s. Right now on your Renaissance Radio, it's 55 degrees in Providence, Rhode Island.
You're listening to Southern New England's Talk Alternative, offering the most unique programming. 990 WALE Renaissance Radio.
And now, back to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause.
We're back at Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause. I must relate to something that Dr. Fenchel and I were just talking about. Many times when a crisis happens, people get numb and are in such a shock that they disbelieve what just happened, and they sort of put it on hold before the real emotional impact of what has been experienced really sets in. One of the things that may develop is a phenomenon that we call flashbacks, that one event suddenly triggers memories of a previous event, and people begin dreaming or remembering or having the sensations or feelings that they had during the previous trauma. An interesting thing happened to me. I was involved personally with the tragedy of Flight 800. I was among the mental health crisis intervention experts that were called to the Ramada Inn at JFK in 1996, and I spent 3 days there with the children. We opened the children's room. There were games and computers and a library, toys, and we just tried to be with the children, and they were in a daze because time had no meaning. Everybody was walking up and down the hotel trying to get more information, realizing that maybe there is no hope, and people were losing the sense of time. The children thought it was 4 in the afternoon when it was 3 in the morning. Nothing seemed in place, and these are some of the sensations that a crisis situation or a trauma situation may produce. So indeed, immediately after this event happened on Tuesday, I myself had flashbacks to the 800 flight disaster. And this is something that I'm sure a lot of people are going to experience and perhaps re-experience. People are concerned now of boarding planes again. All kinds of symptoms of fear and trauma that may be not apparent immediately when we are still in a state of shock and daze may not be apparent, and then next week, next month, something may happen and bring all this back, like I just experienced. I wanted to speak more with Dr. Fenchel about what we can do when we're traumatized. For example, what can be done explaining these events that we're all so very exposed to through the media to the children? How do you explain? How do you cope? How do you explain to the children what they see?
Well, that's several questions, and they're all important and complex. And first of all, I just want to say how brave and admirable it was what you did with that flight. And we're seeing that here now too. People are. It was yesterday, right? Or wasn't that last week? And I have the same feeling. I'm thinking it was a week ago at least, and it wasn't. One thing that's being done, first of all, is to deal with a crisis while it still is a crisis, so that you have it's sort of having a wound that you can help to heal without an infection that's going to come back. And I hate to be so prosaic as to compare it to a wound, but when you see post-traumatic stress disorders, often things have not been resolved, worked out, and sometimes, just honestly, they're too horrible to ever just completely disappear. One thing that we have been doing with children, grade school, middle school children, is having them focus on the positive things that people are doing when they come together, and actually taking initiatives themselves, which they've been doing with their tributes to the emergency workers, for example, and with messages to each other to be there for each other and to be family and to share love. And that's very comforting. I think there's a real, real need to be connected. And people are doing that, as you pointed out, on chat rooms, for example. I was a little surprised to see both adults. We don't have reliable internet at the moment, but people are going there for an alternative to the bombardment of horrible images on the media, because we've seen it live. And to watch television for 10 hours of continuing explosions and collapses, it's traumatic in itself and post-traumatic. Some of the things we tell parents and teachers in discussing a trauma is, first of all, you can't assume that they don't know about it like you do. They're all talking about it. They all see it on TV. PhD, and they may know more than you think. Rather than repeat a whole list, I put up one of these sheets called Talking with Children When the Talking Gets Tough. That's on a trauma resources section of the site. I mentioned my own site, thepsychservices.com. Important to be available, be askable, let kids know that it's okay to talk about the unpleasant events. A lot of times people don't think about it, don't let it bother you. And okay, so we won't think about it. But you can't just do that. And to get back to something you were saying, the same thing is true with healthcare workers, and teachers and parents. We have to realize that we are affected ourselves, because I've seen so many times in the last few days that the kids are saying, it's okay, we're here, we'll go on, and the parents break down, or the teachers break down. It's just so devastating that people are trying to tell each other that things are okay. And one of the things I just read from a child, we put together a tree and they hung poetry and little statements of love and support, and one of the things the child wrote was, it's not okay. We've just seen horror, we've seen tragedy, but we'll try to make it okay. That's all we can do. And it really varies. It's hard to generalize, because people are at different levels cognitively, at different ages, and people are at different levels of experience. If people have had traumatic experiences before, as you know, and to be suddenly again questioning the meaning of why things happen and why we're so helpless and why people can do what they can do, the older one is and the more experienced, the more complex it is and the harder it is to answer why.
I think the question why is one of those questions that religions and philosophers, as well as every one of us every now and then, face a situation in life that things don't go the right way, or the just way, or the way they were supposed to. And every time that we lose someone, or every time something hits us, we say why. And unfortunately, I don't know that there is one person in the world can answer that question. This is one of those questions that we say God knows when we run out of answers. And I think children are especially sensitive to these questions. I know my daughter is right at the age of why, and some of the things that children are asking us are very, very difficult to answer. I think the model that adults play in influencing the children look at us, and if we are crying, they want to cry and they feel lost themselves. And the irony here is, as you and I were talking before, the mental health experts and the police department and the fire department, all these rescue and help professions that are jumping in to try to help and rescue and do it constantly, at some point, each of us is human, and there is a limit even to what a trained professional ready to deal with crisis and trauma situations can face and cope with. I know that in the city there is a need to counsel and help, and they're asking for people to come and help the helpers, not so much not only the families of the victims, but also the mental health and the rescue emergency helpers themselves, who have been dealing with this firsthand and smelling the smoke and being there day and night, and they're also touched by it. I wanted to go over some of the definitions so that our listeners are not concerned that perhaps they are in crisis and they don't know it. So here it goes. A state of crisis creates clinical symptoms which resemble those described in the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual under the classifications such as adjustment disorders, acute stress disorders, or even develop into post-traumatic disorder. I wanted to explain perhaps a little bit to our listeners what it means that acute stress disorder, how do I know that I have it? So the symptoms are, as we said before, an experience of a traumatic event, and the sensation of loss of control, sense of numbing, depersonalization, derealization, and the senses can be happening. We're going to talk more about the signs of acute stress disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder when we come right back.
We'll return to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause after this. Licensed clinicians and therapists, did you know that clinical services online are legal and soon to be fully reimbursed by Medicare? The revolution in direct service delivery is here. Now is the best time to join onlineclinics.com and get your private interactive clinic online. Visit us today at www.onlineclinics.com. Are you a licensed clinician? Are you sick of having someone else manage your time, treatment decisions, and service rates? At onlineclinics.com, professionals manage their own schedule and service rates. If you want real freedom of choice, then it's time to visit onlineclinics.com. Free training and access to clinicalsupervision.com is also available to all members. Visit us at www.onlineclinics.com. Enter through the clinician's entrance and click on registration. Onlineclinics.com, the professional network.
Cosmetic dentist Dr. Jim Eggleston discusses dental implants.
There are so many people with dentures or missing teeth who think that's the best they can do. But having a denture that flops around or falls out, using adhesive to hold in your teeth, or having spaces where your teeth should be is uncomfortable and unattractive. The good news is, we can solve your problems. By using the latest techniques in cosmetic dentistry, we can create custom dental implants. Implants permanently replace missing teeth where your original teeth were. This means no more dentures flopping around or falling out, and no more missing teeth. In many cases, the end result is a beautiful set of strong, permanent teeth.
Imagine how much more confident you'll feel when you smile. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 1-866-GYM-SHOW. That's 1-866-GYM-SHOW.
Dr. Jim Eggleston, at the forefront of cosmetic dentistry.
When my mother, Rita Hayworth, had Alzheimer's disease, not much could be done about it. Today, there's treatment and support to manage Alzheimer's. So if someone you love forgets things more and more, I urge you to see a doctor and call the Alzheimer's Association. Unlike my mother's time, today there's hope for people with Alzheimer's and their families.
Call the Alzheimer's Association at 1-800-272-3900.
Do your managers and salespeople have what it takes to make your business the best of the best? Have you ever wondered how to select the right managers or salespeople the first time around and improve the skills of managers already on your team? Get the solution from Dr. Ira Wolf. He hosts Breakthrough to Success every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Be sure to listen to Breakthrough to Success with Dr. Ira Wolf every Friday morning at 7 right here on your talk alternative, WALE 990 a.m.
Talk to our expert host. In the Providence area, call 621-WALE. Outside the Providence area, call toll-free 1-877-621-WALE.
And now, back to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause.
This is Dr. Krause. We're back at Talk Psychology Live. We were talking before with Dr. Fenichel, who's a New York City clinical psychologist, about the efforts, the heroic efforts, I think, of the mental health and health professionals in the city. We were talking a bit about what activities are good or being done with the kids or with people. We were talking about acute stress disorder and mentioning some of the other disorders that people may feel that they experience now. And I want to say this before we go on. Everyone, including the professionals, including the president, can have a moment where things are too much and where we need support and guidance and we feel a little bit of loss. This is normal. A lot of people listening to this show may feel if they have the symptoms of flashbacks or if they have the symptoms of sleeplessness or heightened anxiety, or they would start avoiding airplanes or high-rising buildings, etc. All these are very normal reactions that every one of us can experience. Every one of us can break when the stress is enough, and we all fit the category of having experienced or being exposed to a traumatic event just like in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. So in a way, we're all traumatized clinically, and we're all going to make it because crisis of such a magnitude usually doesn't last at its height more than a few days, and even if it's a clinical severe situation, the height of a crisis no longer than 6 weeks. So we should assume that things will resume to normal regardless of how bad it is now. And there are a few things that can be done when we are feeling such a loss, so much trauma. One of the things is to get help and not be alone. Another thing is to be very concrete about what is happening and what is being done. And another thing that is very important is to change the state of perceived helplessness. And I wanted Dr. Fenichel to perhaps talk to us a bit more about the efforts that have been made to help the children overcome that sensation of helplessness in the face of the events. You mentioned before they made a memorial site, and maybe you can tell us some more about that, how we can actually translate the helplessness into some action that would give us a sense of control, or that we're moving in the right direction for towards recovery.
Okay, well, I don't think I would want to say there's only one particular way of doing this, but I think the most important thing that we set about trying to do is create a memorial, and we explained it as a place to offer our personal expressions, and that they were all valid, and that they would be different. And also, as I said before, I talked about cognitive level, how people process intellectually, creatively, or impressionistically, and also at different ages and different life experiences. We try to give people a variety of materials. Art, some people wrap the tree in red, white, and blue, which is a common theme, is our country will survive, which is another aspect of us getting a little bit out of ourselves. And yes, it's the New York tragedy, it's also an American tragedy, and from the mail we're getting, it's a world tragedy. And I tried to introduce that when I spoke to children and staff, is that we're not in this alone. And as you say, the fact that we are supported and loved and cared about has been tremendous. Some of the things, I'm sorry if I do any rambling, but as you pointed out, I really haven't slept since about Tuesday.
I want to say, Michael, and I think our listeners should be aware of this. Our show is aired live. This is not taped, and all the fumbling and all the loss of words and all the feelings that may come up here are real and uncensored and unedited. So I needed the audience to hear that we're running a live show, and all this is right from the heart, and I hope goes somewhere. So this is unedited.
Okay, I mean, just to give a little sense of, okay, an example of some of the things they're saying very quickly, and then try to move to how it can end in a positive note. We try to have them talk about the finer things that we can do and how we can honor those innocent people by doing what would be a good thing for all of us, including all the many people who care. Some of the things, here's a quote from today. Thanks to saving the lives of others, I know that we can be united for the love that we share. Every day when I walk to school, I see the Twin Towers, but now it's gone. May the victims of this tragedy recover. And another one from a slightly older child. I don't know anyone, but it still hurts. The whole island is my home, and they attacked it. They is unknown, so anger is not in me right now, but sadness and disbelief. I wonder that there are so many people's lives that have changed, but I don't feel that my life has changed. Just my outlook and aspect of life, of your life, has changed. So what we hope to do is use this as a positive time for people to make it a better world in the future, and that in itself has lent a sense of hope.
Thank you, Michael. We're going to take a short break and come right back.
We'll return to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause after this. Licensed clinicians and therapists, did you know that clinical services online are legal and soon to be fully reimbursed by Medicare? The revolution in direct service delivery is here. Now is the best time to join onlineclinics.com and get your private interactive clinic online. Visit us today at www.onlineclinics.com. Are you a licensed clinician? Are you sick of having someone else manage your time, treatment decisions, and service rates? At onlineclinics.com, professionals manage their own schedule and service rates. If you want real freedom of choice, then it's time to visit onlineclinics.com. Free training and access to clinicalsupervision.com is also available to all members. Visit us at www.onlineclinics.com. Enter through the clinician's entrance and click on registration. Onlineclinics.com, the professional network.
Here is constitutional attorney John Whitehead.
A lot can change in 30 years. The 60s generation that lived for sex, drugs, and rock and roll grew up. It seems that their use for marijuana did too. In 1996, California voters passed a measure allowing doctors to recommend the controversial drug to certain sick patients. But the federal government thought the granola state was out of bounds, and they threatened to prosecute California doctors who took advantage of the new rules. Some physicians fought back, and a federal court took their side, preventing prosecutors from punishing doctors who follow their state's guidelines on medical marijuana. The point of law is our 10th Amendment. It restricts the power of the federal government and lets states fill in the gaps, and that's one of your first liberties. This is John Whitehead for the Rutherford Institute.
This has been a public service announcement from the Rutherford Institute, a nonprofit legal organization. For a free book about your first liberties, call toll-free 888-287-1787. This program is brought to you by Lear Financial.
Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on WALE, Dr. Kamut already hosts Holistic and Natural Medicine, the show with no side effects and many side benefits. Dr. Reddy is unwell to share from her vast experiences both as a doctor and author. She's ready to take on all questions and help you to a healthy life by using natural and holistic medicines, treating the person itself instead of a symptom or an organ as in conventional medicine. So tune in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. for Holistic and Natural Medicine with Dr. Kamut Reddy.
You're listening to Southern New England's Talk Alternative, offering the most unique programming. 990 WALE Renaissance Radio.
And now, back to Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause.
We're back at Talk Psychology Live with Dr. Krause. We have as our guest today Dr. Michael Fenichel, who is a clinical psychologist from New York City. The audience, the public, our listeners are welcome to call in with their comments or questions. We're talking about crisis, crisis intervention, and the things that can be done. If you'd like to call us and share or ask us questions, the number is 877-621-9253. And if you're calling from Providence, Rhode Island, the number is 401-621-9253. The number again, 877-621-9253. We were talking about what can be done in order to recover from a state of shock, disbelief, mourning. I wanted to introduce to our audience a little bit in general, what is crisis intervention, which is on its own a therapeutic model that the mental health professionals have developed, I think, since 30 years now. The initial goal of the crisis intervention model is really to return clients and people to their pre-crisis level of functioning. A shock happened, a trauma happened. The first goal is to go back and help the person recover. The assessment of risk in crisis intervention is done not so thoroughly and slowly like one would usually diagnose or interview a new client, but the therapist is looking for risks and concrete issues that may be disruptive, if it's food, if it's sleep, if it's shelter, if it's disturbing thoughts. Whatever may be on the client's mind at that time has to be really diagnosed quickly, understood, and normalized, really. Because, as I said before, what happens in crisis is like the ordinary. And even the strongest person enduring a tremendous loss, a sudden impact, can either immediately or gradually develop the symptoms of trauma, of acute stress disorder, and in severe cases of post-traumatic stress disorder. All these disorders are treated, and there are techniques and professionals that can help people deal with all this. Again, if you would be suffering from any of these symptoms and you would go today to a crisis intervention specialist, they would first try to alleviate the immediate impact of whatever disruptive or stressful event has done to you. And then the next step would be to mobilize whatever psychological and personality and network and family social resources that the person has in order to help them cope and recover. I think some of the work that Dr. Fenichel has been describing, doing with the Children of New York, is exactly along these lines. The children, I bet, those who had suffered more stress were probably referred and received some extra attention, which would initially focus on how they are and what they endured and how they cope and how they face the trauma. A lot of it is letting it out, talking about it, not saying I'm a hero and I feel nothing and I'm coping, but really share the feelings that you have with people that you trust or people that care about you. And if you don't have those people available, you should find someone, either in your local church or synagogue or mosque, or in a mental health clinic or hospital. There are many phone numbers and many websites that people can call to share their experience and talk about how it is and what can be done. Dr. Fenichel, I wanted to ask you if you have any final thoughts about this tragedy. I know you've been walking through smoke. The air is filled with smoke where you are. It's like a war zone. And you, I bet, try to make it to work and be helpful to others, like many other mental health professionals are. Yet the air is filled with it still. Am I not?
Okay, I just would add to what you said, which was a great description, that the sense of reestablishing normalcy is very important. Having the love and support and holding, addressing the initial symptoms and crisis, and then working towards the work of grief and control and normalcy. You're seeing it now in our country. We need to go on, and we need to make the world a better place for us and show that we can survive and be strong and come through.
Ah, yes, Michael, and I think we will. Thank you for being with us at Talk Psychology Live. Please join us next week on Friday. We're going to talk straight, we're going to talk live, and we're going to talk about the real issues. This is Dr. Krause. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for being with us today. Please join Dr. Krause again next week to Talk Psychology Live or visit www.talkpsychology.com.